Buzzers. Welcome to the Arrow After Show. We are in Season 5, Episode 15, titled Fighting Fire. What-ha! With fire.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Well, Buzzers, it's another fantastic Wednesday, and we are so excited to join you. Tons to talk about here on the Arrow After Show. I'm your host, Allie Kona Bradford. Please be sure to join the conversation on this side of the table by being a co-host using hashtag ABTVArrow, and follow us all. I am at BoysAndBeauty01. Nudge, nudge.
Oh, is that my cue?
That's your
cue. I am Lex Michael, and I am all over social media at TheLexMichael.
Yes, I am yes. Tari J. Miller. I am located at Tari J. That is TauriJaye.
What, no nudge? I was waiting for my nudge.
Pass you need to cure her, bro. Cure her.
There we go. And I'm Katie Cullen. You can find all me. You can find all of me.
All of you.
All of me everywhere. find me on all of the social medias. There we go. At Kiaxe. That is KIAXET. Boy, I miss a week and I'm just gone.
Right? Sounding a little promiscuous over there. All
she said she meant
of me.
Prometheus.
All of me. I'm Jake Eric. But I was going to go into Prometheus since it slightly sounded the same. Anyhoozer.
So I gotta say, since are we going to start with
sure,
that?
Sure, let's do it.
So, all right. I'm not going to pretend that I saw this coming weeks ago, but I definitely saw it coming today. And not before I watched the episode. According to Twitter, 7 hours ago, Patrick Peretta tweeted at me, I think the DA isn't vigilante, but will be inspired by him or replace him. Happens a lot on the show, like how Sarah inspired Laurel. And I responded to him that, oh, that's true, the show does have a history of transposing secret IDs, but man, I'd hate to miss the look on everybody's face when they find out it's Mayor Queen's DA. Put my phone down, went, uh-huh. And so I was watching this episode, and before the reveal, which comes about midway through, this episode overall I thought was very, very strong.
Oh my god!
But
yes.
I'm watching the whole episode going, are we doing this? Okay.
Okay. All right, sweet. So we're doing this.
But see, here's what I thought. As soon as there was the whole incident with the limo and everything's going on, we had a little conversation about I am your friend, blah, 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 you can lawyer for me, yada, yada, yada. And then everybody is in this limo. Everybody gets banged up, and all of a sudden, here comes Adrian. Oh, you better go to the hospital.
Was he speaking in this weird, sinister
yes.
voice all season?
No.
Or did he just start doing it tonight?
Like he just started doing it.
I think he's been doing it for a good chunk of time, but I think we cued in. It's like when you're watching a Scream movie, and they finally reveal Ghostface, and suddenly whoever's playing Ghostface is just chewing the scenery.
Yes.
He might have bumped it up a little, but I don't think that he wasn't doing it this whole
because
time.
Because up
it
until
just became
now,
exaggerated because, oh, shoot. Now we know.
I chalked it up to he's just like, he's a real cool, slick lawyer. And I'm just like, I'm your bud, Oliver, but I'm also man of the law and I can get stuff done. But tonight, he's looking him right in the eyes, like dead, like death staring, going, I'm your friend.
But see, this whole time we thought he was vigilante.
Yes.
And
so
that's where I was going.
He's doing the crazy hero, he's doing the crazy voice because he's vigilante. And now that we know that he's Prometheus, we're like, oh, you're a different flavor of psycho.
Mm,
good.
Yeah.
Great. Awesome.
But they set that up so well. Sorry. No. And I was just going to say they set that up so well because even when Dinah grabbed the piece of mask and he came up to her and said, I'll process that for you.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a Prometheus, then why would you want to stop her from processing it? Because maybe you could figure out who the heck Vigilante is in real life.
Yeah.
Anyways, Prometheus doesn't want competition, which is why we got that nice little pitched rooftop battle between our
him.
Two
Who
people with masks
him.
And voice synthesizers.
That made me so happy. You hear a lot of people talking about, wow, another one of these shows in this universe where we get another villain with a secret identity and a voice changer. And I'm going,
that was me
and?
All season.
But it was you here on this show. But a lot of people all over the internet are having the same conversation. And I'm going, yeah. And give me more of them. Have them fight each other. Please. And they did, and it made me very happy.
Yes.
I just like them. I like to be able to tell them apart, which is why I kept mixing up Alchemy and Prometheus earlier, because we both have very... Hoity-toity is not the word I'm looking for. Hipster. Help me out here. When you think you're fancy.
Whimsical?
No.
No.
When you think, I mean, deluded, but that's not the word you're going for.
It's not the word I'm going for, Gaudy? And I will figure it out. I'll remember it at, like, midnight tonight. I will bolt awake and go, what's this word? And then I'll fall back
and
asleep
you will
and terrify
throw
the
it
cat.
In the hashtag for everybody who is left-handed.
Yeah.
Pretentious!
Okay, that's the one.
Okay, really quick. Hey, Liam. So there's so much going on in this. Liam is somebody who's in the chat. I just want to say there's so much activity going on in the chat, so thank you. There's a lot of people in there tonight. So hello to all of you. We're picking up your comments, but they are seriously going by so fast because everybody's talking so much, which is just awesome for us. So yes,
okay, Mighty B a second ago was like, yeah, the Dorn. And I was like, Michael Dorn? And he then just said, Michael Dorn. So, all right. Glad we covered that.
I know, but there's...
But yeah, we had a glorious fight
Potty,
scene.
Posh? Are those the words you're looking for, really quick?
No, pretentious.
Pretentious.
Oh, pretentious. Sorry, I got it.
We got there.
But yeah, we had a fantastic fight scene, which I definitely had a moment of going, okay, Vigilante's the one with the orange visor. That's how I'm telling him apart tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was awesome watching them go at it like that, and then having the reveal directly on the heels of that. That whole 2.5 minutes was just masterful.
And that was a wonderful, the reveal, the shot, how you start behind him, you see him pull the mask
and
off.
The circle
and then,
camera.
And it's a very slow circle around, dragging it out as long as possible, torturing you with the reveal before mm-hmm. finally you see that it's Chase.
Oh, yeah. I thought for sure they were going to cut the scene.
That's what I thought too.
I thought they were just going to completely wreck us on that.
In a way, I kind of wish they did, though. I like knowing that it's Chase, but at the same time, like, I like the tease.
Yeah, but I feel like these shows tease you for so long throughout the entire season that sometimes it gets old, so it's nice to have an unexpected boom in your face, this is who I am.
And
yeah.
we still...
It changes the game.
Exactly.
And you're right, we still have someone out there where they're masked, they're a player on the field, and we don't know who they are.
That is exactly what I was going to say. How did you do that?
I'm psychic.
I will say this, for all of those who like to predict who Prometheus was before we knew, and we didn't really get that many Vigilante predictions, but...
We were so sure it was
Adrian.
Yeah,
we were all pretty convinced.
Well, and all of the thing is, that I was thinking about is the scene where they're in the limo, I was thinking, well, it's not Thea, because she's in the limo, it's not this person, because they're in the limo, all these people are in the limo that it could be, so it's definitely not them. Now we know who Adrian is, but this Vigilante good... Yeah. Lord, baby Jesus, I'm losing my thoughts. There was a point to all this.
Well, we don't know who Vigilante is still. Now, I have one theory, but it's a theory based solely on who else did we spend time with in this episode and how tall do they look next to Adrian Chase.
Is it Pike?
Yes, it's Pike.
Yes.
Which would make a certain amount of sense. But I like, too, that before we got the reveal that Adrian Chase wasn't Vigilante, he was Prometheus, I like that the episode was really playing on certainly my assumptions that he would turn out to be Vigilante. Just like you see him right before the limo, you see him, like, peel off.
They've been mm-hmm. very, very careful not to come out and say, oh, yes, it's him, but also not to do anything to dismiss those. There wasn't any evidence against him being Vigilante right up until the reveal.
Right, how he peels off before the attack and then Vigilante pieces and then he peels back in. But I had a moment when he showed back up after that scene and I went, if he's Vigilante, I buy that he could get back here because he probably didn't go far. I even buy that his suit wouldn't look that must. He was wearing a lot of very sturdy equipment. Right. There is no way he had all that gear on his head and his hair looks that perfect. Not possible.
They also had a time skip. And they make flexible hair gel where you can push the hair down and then after the helmet comes off, it springs back into place.
And then really? Your hair automatically magically braids itself.
You just like real seconds. World explained away my single biggest issue with the Winter Soldier, which is how perfect Cap's hair looks at the beginning when he takes the helmet off.
Modern
Nothing
technology.
Else in that movie doesn't make sense.
Modern technology. All right,
anyway, you had a question before.
I don't know. I'm coming up with a creative way to raise my hand. So, okay, talking about Prometheus... Did anybody think about when the reveal was Adrian about Prometheus' mother and the whole storyline prior to about Prometheus is this scorned person because Arrow had killed his dad at one point? And I'm looking at how old Adrian is and I'm thinking, see, now that's not making sense anymore. And your mother looks too young to be your mother unless she just had you young. But outside of that, the whole thing about he watched you, blah, blah, blah. Adrian looks like he's the same age, if not a few years older than Oliver.
That doesn't necessarily mean... Like, we have his baby pictures, but we don't have a birth year for him. We don't necessarily mean that he was a child when his father was killed.
True.
Right.
I think I just painted that picture. In my mind, I was thinking young person who grew up to now want revenge, not adult who's mature enough to know better?
Well, I think we all did because we had the baby pictures, and that's kind of the mind frame that we were in.
Yeah, well, also, he's only had the vengeance thing for 5 years, so he couldn't have been that young.
True.
Well, also, not to go too far ahead, but it seems like if we're drawing on the little bit of information that we got from the promo, it seems like there's maybe more going on here than just one guy, and we can save that for predictions, but now I'm wondering how big this is and how there's maybe more than just that angle to it.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, I want to actually, now that you mentioned that, I do want to talk about Susan, because obviously at the end of the episode, you have Adrian slamming the door and I have no need exclusive, blah, blah. Get out of here.
This story's literally get life and death. Get out of here.
But
it's just like, that should be pinging your creeper senses like none other, Susan.
Remember. Do you guys remember who she was having a conversation with when she was talking about the story originally and we had the reveal that she was working on a story?
Because yeah.
For some reason, in my mind, I thought it was Adrian, but it wasn't. It was some other dude. So something made me feel like she already had some sort of connection to Adrian, which is why he might go back to her. If that makes sense.
Because there seemed to be, and maybe I was reading too much into something that wasn't there, but I actually got a similar vibe from that scene. They didn't address it in the dialogue, but they seemed, it's not like this is the first time they've met. And I know she covers the mayor's office, but there seemed to be a little bit of familiarity there.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is I still don't trust Susan. Let's talk about how much I don't like Susan.
We still don't know what her source was.
Well, no.
But we don't know where that guy was getting stuff.
Yeah, but regardless, the reason I want to bring her up is because I'm still curious as to why Oliver is so stuck on stupid when it comes to her. Because with Felicity, in the breakup, he was so busy feeling, maybe it's because he was self-loathing, but when they broke up, it was, oh, I don't deserve her, and blah, 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 whatever. And supposedly she was the love of your life, and, you got married, or what have you, all that nonsense. But then here's this girl who you've only been dating for a few months and you are so caught up on her. And I get that all of a sudden Oliver has morals, so he's upset that Thea and Felicity set her up and blah, blah, blah. But still, the woman was going to write an article and reveal who you were knowingly after sleeping with you, after starting a relationship with you. She was still going to throw you under the bus and you're still upset about.
You go ahead.
No, I mean, I hear what you're saying. And yes. Break up with her. Get as far away from her as you possibly can. Flip side to that is, she is a journalist, and this is a real story. It's not like there's no story here. So,
But she's sleeping with the story.
Is an ethical problem.
Absolutely.
But that doesn't mean that investigating stories isn't what she does. And I didn't get a chance to talk about this last episode because I was out sick. But immediately, doing the hack job on her laptop, the day after she asks Oliver if he's the Arrow, is pretty much saying, yes, he is.
Yeah.
So that was an incredibly stupid thing to do, and that wasn't something that Oliver wanted. And so I'm looking at this story less as, boy, what is Susan up to, and more as, Thea, you need to find your moral center again. Holy cow.
When I appreciate the way that ultimately played out in this episode. Now, yes, we're getting another version of Thea feels like she has to leave, which I feel like is something we've gotten a couple times. But it did make some sense to me here. And I'm glad that Thea has matured to a point where she can see that she says it herself. I've been in the muck too much lately, mm-hmm. and I need to get away from this. And she says, if you ask me to stay, I will. So please don't.
Yeah.
And it's not just, Oliver referenced the fact that she's starting to remind him of her mom. And I think we saw a lot with the move to blackmail this council person. I think we saw a lot of shades of Moira here. But also,
Felicity was on board too. And both of them were like, well, it's politics.
Yeah.
Politics for people who did not grow up in politics and know what the media has to say about politics. They're both new to being in the political game. And it runs a little differently on the inside than it does in the movies and John Grisham novels and all that other fun stuff.
Right. I'm just saying that they're both using it as justification because politics has this well-known stigma of not being very moral. So if they're going to be liars, cheaters, stealers, or whatever it is, then why can't we?
And Oliver is doing everything he can to try to run a very upright, moral campaign is not the word.
Ethical?
Administration.
Thank you.
Oh,
the queen. Yeah.
So wait, hold
on. I'm really bad at words tonight, y'all.
Last thing I want to bring up, and I will let Susan go. Let her go. Let her go. Spidey hands. So what I want to say is that this could be what?
You're terrible. Yeah. Please continue.
You know, this could have been my hearing. It could have been me typing while watching. But did anybody else hear Susan on her little rant when they were doing at the press conference? She was talking to Oliver, and of course he had to go talk to her. You deserve this. You deserve. Did she not say you deserve to die?
You deserve today. Yes.
Oh, darn. I was hoping she said you deserve to die. Then was just gonna
I know you're mad at me, but that's a little much.
That's why I was like, you gave me more reason to dislike her. Yeah.
Arif is in the chat. Hi!
Hi, Arif.
Hi.
He's a lovely human being.
Oh, he loves his show. Hey.
Hey, boo. Hi, friend.
Hi, Jamie. Hi, Billie Jean. I know you keep tweeting at me, so I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. Billie Jean is a wonderful human being and lives in the hashtag and puts glorious gifts in there, and it's just so much fun.
Boo 69Bs.
And then Joseph Garza put my favorite thing in the hashtag tonight, and you wow, what an amazing reveal, Arrow. Haven't seen that one before. Hashtag Jay Garrick is Prometheus, and it's a picture of Jay Garrick, and I just, God bless. I continually go back to that well because it's still funny to me.
So anyway. Good.
So now that I've murdered the conversation, let's continue.
All right. Tari, you've not had a chance to say anything because we keep on talking over you, so you go.
Let's continue it. Cool. No.
they're referencing something about the doctor who knows Oliver's secret came back tonight for a nice little cameo. Yeah. I was like, I completely forgot that this character existed.
Me too.
But I was like, oh, that's right. Way to be Doctor Lady who knows Oliver's secret and doesn't tell anybody because she's nice.
DC Night Nurse,
yeah.
Wait, hold on. I'm glad you brought that up because did I miss when he told her and when he established a relationship with her?
I'm sure it happened. I don't remember. That's the problem. I'm sure it was far earlier on, and I've been having trouble with words today, you guys. Forget long-term memory for this show. Yeah, if anyone in the chat or in the hashtag knows when the doctor first came in, or Lex, if you know, because you're looking like you know.
I'm literally going, whoa. Like, when the scene happened, I was like, wait, is he hallucinating? No, this doctor looks vaguely familiar to me, but I don't remember when this happened.
Like, yeah. I accepted that she's real and that this is a thing that occurred, but I legitimately do not remember when. So, chat, if you want to refresh our memories, that would be great.
Yeah.
It'd be super helpful.
I feel it would have had to be in the
earlier Stormy Wood says she was the doctor when Laurel died. So does Garrett Scoggin. Of course. That would make the most...
I repressed.
That would make the most sense.
So, when Laurel came in... Oh, I guess it was revealed that Laurel was the canary.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Yeah.
That's right. Yep. That's correct.
Thank you, chat. You guys are wonderful.
That's why we keep you around.
Exactly.
Earning your keep.
It's totally...
Using the Google when we're on air.
I was saying this is totally irrelevant, but since we're talking... What?
No, I'm just watching the chat go, Prometheus is the Vigilante is the time remnant of Prometheus, or vice versa?
Prometheus is the time remnant of Vigilante. Mind blown.
There we go.
Nerdity nerd. I just like your name. That's really cool. Any hooser, I want to talk about something that's completely irrelevant, but that's okay. And I'm going to go into the flashback really quick because as much as a lot of important things happen in the flashback, there's one thing that stands out to me the most.
Okay.
And you guys are going to say, you are so stupid.
Let's go.
When have
we
ever said that?
I'm going to assume
it's
Oliver's hair.
It wasn't Oliver's hair. It's his lack of eyeshadow. He had the full-blown nice costume because, you know, oh my God, what's her name?
Talia.
Thank you.
Gave him the costume with the weirdly pointy hood.
Yes, which is similar to season one Arrow. But it was just interesting because I went, oh, look, that's pre-eyeshadow. So did you get that in Starting City?
He only had an hour to like get this information. He couldn't be like, smear.
Hey, he used to do that quite quickly within 5 seconds, season one.
I thought you were going to point out how easily he got to that computer, considering the last time he went into this house, he got, like, beat up.
I don't think they were expecting him. Kovar was just so, that's okay, I've won, and I'm going to get to officially kill these people, and life is great.
Yeah, but you know what? Oh, sorry, going back to the costume a little bit. Season 1, Arrow, didn't he have more of a raggedy costume? So how come it was more advanced looking in the Flash?
Well, this
he
is
does
still...
go back to the island.
Yeah, so this okay. is still a little bit before that.
Yes. Okay.
So he's got time to like tatter up his costume, make his hood a little less awkwardly pointy.
And yeah. grow that awful beard.
And grow that goatee. Yeah, guys, remember when Dolph Lundgren was on the show for a minute? Where'd he go?
I don't know.
I miss that guy.
He's definitely not hanging out by his computer.
No, because Oliver picked that right up.
Is there anything else we want to talk about since I did bring up Flashback and anything significant?
I like that we have
it quite a bit.
Yeah, I like that we had more progression this week than we had last week. And I like that we get to see little bits of how the Bratva handles their business.
Yeah.
And how there are rules, as aggressive and dangerous and mad and shooty-shooty that all of these Russian gangsters are, there are rules to this entire thing. And I like seeing that explored a little bit.
Yeah. It made me think of Parlay in Pirates of the Caribbean, where you're like, all right, we can have a civilized conversation instead of shooting me in the face.
Yeah. And I love that it was, wait, what did you tell him? What did you ask for? We extend our lives by the length of one good movie. Bless you. Bless you. So, I thoroughly enjoyed the flashback. It didn't tie in with the present too terribly much, but considering how strong the flashbacks have been this season, as opposed to the past two seasons, give or take, this was a lot of fun to watch.
I felt like, though, it was slightly relevant in that Oliver took this computer, right? And we're also going into that whole exploration of Felicity and her now taking information that maybe she shouldn't be toying with. And then you've got Diggle, who's trying to daddy her a little bit. And I like the conversation that they had, because one of the things she throws in his face, because he says, you know, your superpower is empathy and this, that, and the third, and you're getting dark. And she said, well, actually, this person has been dark at this point. Oliver got dark at this point. How come you guys get to be dark and I can't? Well, you're not allowed to because you're Felicity.
You always need at least one person in the team who has their head thoroughly removed from their ass. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, that's usually Felicity. And with her going off the deep end, no one really knows how to cope.
Right.
Because she's mostly been the moral center. And now that she's drifting away from that, Oliver is trying to stake his claim as the moral center in so much as he can.
Right.
Which is a weird shifting of roles, and it's not necessarily a good thing for Felicity.
Right. On top of which, too, when I see the other characters not wanting Felicity to break bad, as it were, I feel like it's less about you can't do this, making them hypocrites, and more about you're going to do what you're going to do, and I get that I've done some really bad stuff, but, like, for real, the stuff I've done is dark, and it haunts me, so maybe don't.
But here's the thing about Felicity, too, it's not like she's going down this path and thinking to herself, yes, this is dark, and I know this is dark, but I'm going to do this. In her mind, she's joining this organization for which she had some sort of affiliation with in the past, and when she was doing it in the past, she was trying to make the world a better place, but through hacking. Not saying it's the right thing, but the whole point was to make the world better. So here she is joining, what was it called?
Helix.
Helix,
yeah.
And they're an organization that, according to that girl, you know, they looked up to Felicity and blahzy, blahzy, blah. So she's just getting back to her roots.
Yeah, but I feel like you tend to make some decisions in college that aren't always the best decisions of your life because you're still stuck between living with your parents and trying to function as an adult in the test run of what the real world might kind of be. And so going back to, this is what I did in college, well, obviously they know something. It's like, oh, friend, that requires a lot more examination than you've given it.
Yeah.
So, wait, I wonder if Felicity will die her back dark. That's funny. Somebody in the chat room, I just had to point it out because I thought it was funny. They're like, Lex's facial expressions.
That's Chase Lincoln.
I'm thinking a lot of stuff, Chase Lincoln.
What are you
a lot
thinking? Of stuff. Tell us.
Well, so while we're on the subject of Felicity, and part of me is like, is this a prediction? But it's not because I don't know where this goes. I don't even really have a theory about where this goes exactly. But while we're on the topic of Felicity getting involved now full-time with Helix, the producers have alluded to this idea that they want her to essentially go through her own version of the island. Her own harsh origin story, as it were. That's my interpretation of it. So her getting involved with Helix would apparently be the first step down that road, which maybe I'm projecting that knowledge I have onto what I'm seeing and going, this is not play, dude.
I think the first step was her boyfriend getting horribly murdered.
Sure, that might do it. Is Detective
Billy
Malone?
It's a betrayal and a murder.
Is Detective Billy Malone her Oliver's dad. There we go, Robert. That's it. That's the one. That's the thing.
Yeah,
that's
the guy. I got you, bro.
Yep, yep, yep. Yeah. Died at sea. R.I.P.
Died at sea. R.I.P. Yeah, well, though, my issue with the hacktivism versus use of the Pandora's box is that there's no positive way to use this, like, blackmail. Like, essentially, you're just, you're being, I guess, evil for evil's sake, whereas, like, hacktivism, maybe you flood a company's computers with a bunch of ding-dongs for, like, an hour, and you're like, this is what happens when they're down for an hour, or you take down S3, and you're like, everything lives on S3 Amazon! Look how much of the internet is down! Hacktivism!
Oh, Amazon. No, but I would think hacktivism for a good cause, like, let's save the puppies and the kitties of the world and take all the money from this hunting company, and we're gonna give it to the puppies and kitties.
That's
I sincerely hope there's not a,
I hacktivated.
I sincerely hope there's not a company that's hunting puppies and kitties, because what the hell?
Yeah.
I would take it from PETA.
That doesn't ruin lives, though. So, like, there's one thing to take insured money and be like, haha, now I've distributed it to the unwealthy. However, you know, essentially bringing out people's dirt, that's not your place to reveal, is kind of another level of
unnecessary. They're dirty and they deserve it.
Well,
and they
specifically,
do mean things to people.
Specifically, what they were working with here was a guy who essentially covered up his wife's suicide as an accident, because there's only so much you can deal with. It's not this big, devious, it might be insurance fraud. I don't think life insurance covers suicide, but that wasn't the point. And taking this and holding it over their heads, saying, hey, we need you to make this decision. You need to make a decision over whether or not Oliver Queen is a moral mayor, and we're going to blackmail you to say that he's moral. Like,
touch of hypocrisy.
This is not good.
You could say, yeah. And
this is not a good.
There's the angle where you very quickly lose your own moral compass, and then on top of that, there's the fact that once you get involved with people who are comfortable operating in that morally gray space, you tend to find yourself on the receiving end of the actions of others who are in an even grayer moral space.
And then you wind up against the black hats, and then it's like,
it's a dangerous,
not a good area to live in.
It's a very dangerous door to open, no matter what her intentions are, especially when the team relies on her and the city relies on the team. It's not super smart.
This is a slippery slope, and she's pulled out the sled and is getting ready. So,
and like, I get maybe it's just because the only person from Helix that she knows is played by Casey Rohl, who seems very, like, innocent and charming. But as we've seen on Hannibal, she looks that way, but it often belies more sinister intentions.
This is also someone who is a Felicity fangirl, who was like, oh my god, I knew you from your hacktivism days. Right. How great! And I was like, and that's the only thing you know about. And then you shamed her for no longer being a hacktivist, and she felt she had to prove herself to you?
Yeah, she was just negging, bro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That
pretty
was
much.
Plan.
So wait, hold on.
So
really
it's
quick.
All just not good.
How about the fact that Oliver asked Felicity for help with Susan, and she said, well, no, because that's your girlfriend. Basically saying a big F you, how dare you ask me to help you with your girlfriend issues when I'm your ex.
And you killed my boyfriend.
I
get that. Please don't. Brain. That sentence went three different ways. It was not supposed to. I get what she's saying in terms... Yes, thank you. I get what she's saying in terms of, no, I'm not going to contact your girlfriend for you. What the heck? But she is the hacker of the team, and she does need to fix that portion of things that she was asked to do that was an issue. Like, that is not something Oliver can fix on his own.
Sorry. K.L. Kent. Nobody should help Susan. Fluff Susan.
Somebody earlier.
Kal-El Kent also called for her death earlier.
Somebody earlier in the chat, I think a couple people were like, we should put Susan in a limo with Oliver Queen. And I was like, that's really funny, and I'm super uncomfortable.
I mean, I'm really glad that they finally pointed that out, but I made noises?
Yeah, no, getting into a limo with Oliver is a terrible idea in this universe, as it turns out.
And no one was wearing seatbelts.
No, nobody, but they're vigilantes, Katie. They're too tough for seatbelts.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. I'm really happy that they had the whole, we have a concussion protocol, you have to do this. Well, I'm waiving it. Well, you're currently on trial, so you don't get to do anything. So, no, we have a concussion protocol. I just love all the little conversations we had this episode. The bit with the concussion protocol, the bit at the beginning talking about his balls, and
Oh,
thank you.
That went a little that went a little too far, didn't it? Yeah, just a little bit.
I really wanted to talk about Curtis's balls, so I'm glad you mentioned it.
When do we not want to talk about Curtis's balls?
We always want to talk about Curtis's balls.
I'm glad that they're leaning more into the tech.
Balls of steel.
Balls of steel. Good night, everybody. No, I am really glad that we're now leaning more into the technology, because that is something that was a big mainstay of Mr. Terrific's power set in the comics. So, but like also at the same time, as happy as all of that made me, everything else with Curtis tonight broke my heart.
I'm so mad about, he asked me to go to dinner, and I'm like, really reserved dinner at a fancy restaurant simply to serve you papers.
That was a little bit much.
And leave.
That was a bit much. Right? I feel
you meet someone in public, but you don't reserve a fancy dinner and then just leave.
Exactly.
Like, I feel bad for the restaurant.
You don't want them to make a scene, I guess, and if you really have that little faith in the person and you think they're going to flip out, okay, I get doing it in public, but like, we could have done this at a Denny's. You know what I mean?
No.
I would like the idea of the scene that we didn't get to see is Curtis picking up a bill and be like, you ordered 12 lobsters? Why?
No. This is why I think. Leave the man some dignity. Don't do that in public, because I get you don't want it to make a scene, but that to me means that you're a coward and you can't take the heat. Just have the conversation. And if he has something to say after you serve the papers, cool. Talk it out. You've made your decision, but at least let that person be able to talk to you, not have to worry about the fact that all these people are here. That's so humiliating.
Yeah, and it looked like a really fancy restaurant. So reserving a dinner at a fancy restaurant and then being like, yeah, we're going to go to dinner.
That also,
like,
seriously,
that
that's misleading.
That's
very misleading.
Cruel.
Like, we could even if let's accept that Paul was committed to doing this in public, right? Okay, but there was a much better way to handle let's meet
Denny's than Starbucks. Yeah. Anywhere that wasn't a place where you had to get a reservation
and get
this is what I stuck on
and look nice and try to feel pretty.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to dissent for a second.
Please do.
There's a chance that Paul wasn't going to serve the papers.
Not likely.
No, it is likely, though. Okay. There's a chance.
And the first thing Curtis said when he sat down was talking about, he was late and it was Aero Business.
Exactly.
That's a good
point.
So,
like, he may have wanted to talk it out, but, like, Curtis obviously showed that he cared more about the Aero Business than he did reconciling.
This would all help if we had spent more time with Paul and his POV was a little clearer, I guess.
No. Because if he had the idea that I'm going to sit and talk to you, maybe we can talk this out, why would you conveniently just have those papers there? Well, in case Curtis brings up his life, I have these papers
no,
ready.
But like, it's something that like he may have had drawn up, and he wasn't sure he was going to give them to him, but like, yes, of course you're going to have them, and you're there to potentially reconcile, but you want to keep in mind both sides, you know?
You don't take the time and spend the money to draw up all those papers to maybe contemplate, maybe I'll give them to you, maybe I won't.
Of course you do!
No!
He might have done that, had second thoughts, and decided to have dinner with Curtis to see which way it would go.
And keep them in his pocket just in case.
Yeah.
That's to know it's like when he...
Some people think like that.
Yeah, I can see it. And I can see when Curtis is late and the very first thing he says is like, we stopped an assassination. Maybe Paul goes, yeah, we can't fix this. But again, this just brings me back to, I wish we had gotten to know Paul a little bit better. Like, everything with that relationship that we have gotten, I think works really well. Because Echo Kellum is an insanely charming and likable actor. And to watch him be sad is heartbreaking. But I don't feel like I know Paul at all other than hearing Curtis talk about him.
Yeah.
I rather like the theory now that Paul has been vigilante the whole time.
it would be interesting. Yeah.
Get out of the superheroing business. Get out of the superheroing business. Because correct me if I'm wrong, has Vigilante ever really taken a crack at Mr. Terrific?
No, but Vigilante's really, if that's the case, Paul's really short.
Stunt doubles.
Oh, okay.
Paul divorced him because he threw that exploding ball at his head. Yep.
Well, I am tired of your balls in all capacities, so are we done?
Damn.
Curtis will date Renee. Somebody else said that as well.
Can we not?
I don't think that would be good for them.
Unless we decide, unless it's like, oh yeah, Renee is confirmed bisexual, I'd be down, but for now... We know Renee was married and has a kid, and we know that Curtis is gay and married and currently getting divorced, we think. And so this is just like, can we maybe leave the throwing them together out of this for now? Because they both have a lot of stuff to work on before either of them can be in a productive relationship, let alone with each other.
The problem is, like, none of these people should be dating each other for long list of reasons. Oh, but you also can't date civilians if you're on this team because they will die.
Yeah. But, like, imagine the funny, angry sex that they would have. Like, just imagine it. Like, all the jokes that that Curtis would be cracking, all the, like, mean, angry grunting from Renee.
No,
be real good.
I don't ship them.
I'm sure that someone has written an Arrow Cave orgy before. It exists.
Wow. You went there.
Yeah, all the arrows in the quiver.
I guarantee
it. The quiver makes me quiver.
The quiver makes me quiver. The orgy fic.
Oh, man.
Someone has to have written that at this point.
If you've heard of something, slash fiction exists for it on the internet 34? Somewhere.
Rule 34.
Mighty B. Ew.
Oh, friend, you are not familiar with Tumblr, are you?
Everyone keeps talking about how Artemis is just gone.
Yeah,
I miss her.
And now everybody else is back on Please Kill Susan because she's a civilian and civilians die. That's not what I meant. But
I would prefer for us not to kill Susan because we really need to stop throwing women in the fridge on this show.
Agreed. And I'd much rather see her be part of this in some greater capacity than cannon fodder.
Yeah.
Yes. Because we've had, you're in a relationship. Well, I'm going to take the person you care about and put them in a terrible. And how many times has that happened? Like, if I had a dollar for every time that went down on this show. But at least have enough for Starbucks because it tends to be season finale material. Nonetheless.
Or how about the fact that the nurse prescribed, are you prescribing me a girlfriend?
That was a great line. Even just someone to talk to. Like, he does need that.
I had this moment of, Oliver, she's flirting with you. Stop. You're being mean to this lady. Like, be nicer. Just flirt back a little. You're very pretty.
Just start making out. Come on. Why not?
No, I just saw the look on the actress's face when he said, you're prescribing me a girlfriend. And it was this look of like, but I know what she meant. Right. I know what she meant, but I was like, don't break this poor doctor lady's heart. Don't do that. She's so nice to you.
Yeah. We don't need this night nurse making out with everybody.
No.
I liked her, though, very, very much. Like, I missed her. She needs to come back. We need more of her on this show.
Yeah.
Please and thank you.
Sure.
But to talk about the balls a little bit more quick, I loved Curtis using them against Vigilante.
Yes.
It was so badass.
Mm-hmm. He needs to figure out how to either reload them or come up with more of them because it exploded. Well, shoot.
Like, but he has more than one of those.
Yeah,
you have two shots in an entire fight.
Yes.
That's not a good thing.
Especially
since Vigilante got away both times.
Well, now that he knows they explode, he can carry a whole handful of them.
Yeah.
It's a little pouch. I just throw them.
I feel like, it really frustrated me after he threw the second one. And I get why we're doing it, because we have to drag this out for a few more episodes. But when he hit Vigilante with the second exploding T-sphere, and Vigilante is down, why was the first move to go check on anybody? Why was the first move not run over and unmask Vigilante? Because once you know who this dude is, even once he gets away, this game is basically over.
Or run over and restrain him or something. And I'm surprised they didn't leave someone by the sniper rifle and that Vigilante didn't try to go back to take the shot once he had two out of three people down.
Yeah.
Part of me thought... Did he put it on a timer? Because it's still there. They had a quick shot of it still set up while they were over there fighting.
But I they had that moment where they ran up to it and they're like, let's just point this at the sky instead.
Yeah. Davy Elmer in chat says the actress who plays Dr. Schwartz is Venus Terzo. And Jonathan Deming says that Curtis Discord orbed Vigilante. Overwatch jokes. I like you.
Yeah.
Yeah, me. It's on a slight delay, so I don't know what I said that you liked, but
says that his mask explodes.
Vigilante's got a booby trapped mask.
Yes.
Oh.
We already know that Vigilante has a booby trap mask. I would hope. Now, we haven't addressed this at all, so it's certainly not canon. This only exists in my wonderful little headcanon. But I would hope that somebody had Curtis looking into a way to disarm that.
I had forgotten that he had a booby trap mask.
I mean,
I had forgotten that that was a thing.
It can only explode once, though.
In theory, so maybe just have one guy go over and do it, and then have the next guy pull it off.
Yeah,
and then we're
just
gonna
put
go
a little grappling hook on the T-spheres just to
right take or one like for the team. Or we'll treat Diggle's hand back at the arrow cave. It'll be fine.
He needs that hand.
Your Max Vinicus did Vila Aruda's husband on Earth too.
Just put a hook on the end of a pole and reach out and just...
Vinicius. Max Vinicius de Villa Aruda.
I don't know.
Hey, there we go.
I don't know, but really quickly, I want to ask the chat, too. Is there something that we have left out yet or need to hit that we have not hit yet? That's what I meant to say.
I mean, we covered...
We've got about a minute delay, so in the meantime, shall we talk about iTunes?
Let's talk about iTunes.
Let's talk about it.
All right, you lovely human beings. Thank you so much to everyone who has gone on iTunes, who has subscribed to the AfterBuzz TV Arrow After Show, who has rated us 5 stars, who has left a review. When you do that, you help keep us as an after show on the air. Our producers take a look at the ratings and the reviews, and they say, hey, people really like this show. We should keep it. Additionally, when you leave a rating, when you leave a review, it increases our rating on the overall iTunes charts, which helps us come up further up the list in search results, and which helps new people find the show. So when you do that, when you rate us 5 stars, when you leave us a review, we absolutely love you. And, you know, we read the reviews on air because we adore the heck out of you. We have Flash, Arrow, Legend, Supergirl, and Ruby from Kakashi 141. This is a great show. The hosts always make me laugh and smile. We have So Cool by Jomaya. This is Jomaya, and I love all the superhero shows. And we have Good Call on Theories by Best Hype Man Ever. Great idea when you guys talked about Prometheus, also Vigilante, showing Oliver all of his sides. What if it's the DA and that's his public persona? That was posted on February 24th.
Wow.
Dang.
Wow. You get prize. Congratulations.
Wow.
You called it.
So I'm sure that Best Hype Man Ever of all time is just watching popcorn and going, pick up the phone!
It's Mark Guggenheim.
Hey, really quick, in the chat, somebody had said, sorry guys, I don't do iTunes. No big deal, because you can also leave your comments on, I was going to say Facebook. Wow. You can leave your comments on YouTube. Yeah. Also, we talked about earlier in the show, you're also welcome to follow us. We love chatting with you guys. So definitely catch all our Twitter handles, and we mention them at the end, because that's always... Let us know you're from the Arrow After Show.
And also, if you leave a review in the iTunes Store that is not the American iTunes Store, or if you leave it in the podcast feature of Google Play, please take a screen cap, put it in the hashtag. We have a little more trouble finding those, because what is navigating to other iTunes stores? But we really super appreciate them, and when we get those, we read those out on the air as well.
Hearts
for everyone. We love you all.
People in the chat keep pointing out that the restaurant that Paul met Curtis at was a redressed Jitters.
CC Jitters from The Flash.
Yes.
But way fancier.
Yes.
But you know what? I mean, if they had not redressed it and left it as a coffee shop, we'd all be less mad at Paul.
Probably.
This is very true.
Maybe it was like a premium Starbucks.
We had people requesting talk about Thea. We kind of already did.
Yes.
Well, what I saw while you were reading those is just everybody asking, is she leaving the show? And then somebody else tweeted that she only had a limited number of episodes this season. I've never read that.
Well, she hasn't been.
She look at
was already gone for a little bit.
Yeah.
She's already not been here and there.
Yeah, she's already not been in every episode.
Yeah. And she hasn't been part of any huge major storylines. Although it was good to see her fight. She got her butt kicked.
She's been out of the game for a little while. And apparently whoever Vigilante is super strong. Now,
because that was an over-exaggerated amount of mid-air tumbles that she took. Because dang.
All right, well, we're being scooted along, so I'm just going to go ahead and start news and gossip because I see all these pictures starting to pop up.
Wow.
Alrighty, so first picture is of Miss Katie Cassidy, and the reason I actually pulled that particular picture up is because she has the piercing, which made me go, oh, it's real, because when we saw her come back as Canary 2, we went, oh, what? It's just the little piercing that supposedly makes her this evil person?
Or is this evil Katie Cassidy from Earth 2?
We don't know.
Either way, so that's the reason why I pulled that picture up. And then go ahead and switch it over to another picture, please. While that's being switched on. Okay, so Kenny Cassidy's father is David Cassidy, the infamous guy from the Partridge Family, right?
That's right.
I did not know that.
Me neither.
She actually covered his song, I Think I Love You. That was her first and only song she released when she was a teenager. But I did not realize that they actually have an estranged relationship. Oh. They have... I've got a picture, another picture of them together somewhere in my news and gossip. But for the most part, apparently he was only dating her mother. And so mom pretty much raised her. Never really supported her acting entertainment career. So she made it on her own. But the reason I pulled up this picture of him is because he just recently revealed that he has dementia. And so, just big news. And, of course, regardless if you're estranged or not, they've had affiliation. So, it's something that I felt the need to bring up. So, let me just pull up my little article about
sad.
That. It
that
is sad. It is sad. Retired actor, singer, songwriter David Cassidy has revealed that he is estranged from his only daughter, actress and Arrow star Katie Cassidy. David, 66, revealed Monday that he is suffering from dementia and told people that while he is Katie's biological father, he didn't raise her. Katie was born in 1986 to model Sherry Williams, who had a brief romance with the pop star.
And that's People magazine. He didn't just tell some people.
Yes. And
that'd be
our
great.
Next picture
is part of his dementia. He's like, I didn't raise that girl. Right. She ain't mine.
So
well, that's sadder.
Wow. I brought this picture. This is a picture of a comic version of our TV show, obviously. But the reason I did is for those people who are upset and get upset with the show because it goes astray from the exact storyline of the comics, I wanted to read something that Stephen Amell had said. That the elements you find in the TV show that make the show what they are, and that they that became Oliver's relationship between Felicity and Diggle, one character that's completely original in terms of John Diggle, an ode to Andy Diggle, who wrote Year One, and Felicity Smoke, who was plucked far from the reaches of DC Universe. Thea Queen also did not exist in the comics, and I think that's all stuff that's important to remember. Over the course of 5 seasons, Arrow has also worked very closely with DC to stay true to the spirit of the comics. We have always consistently had the creative team behind DC as a partner, and they sign off on stuff for us, and they give us chances with characters like Barry Allen, who was introduced through our show before he went ahead on his own show, and they do that because they have faith in us. Then he says, if they thought that we were destroying their comics mythos, if I say that pronounced
yes.
correctly, okay, I'm pretty sure they would have said something by now. Boom. Drop the mic.
They did say kill all the Suicide Squad characters.
That they did. Aww. But anyhow, the reason I bring that up is because in the chat when we're talking, a lot of times people get angry because they feel like the show is doing something wrong by not having, you know, Oliver is not with Canary
Laurel.
When
right.
Laurel, and then when Laurel got killed and this, that, and the third, which, by the way, Katie Cassidy also quoted saying that she thought it was a great idea because it just livened things up. You got to keep things fresh. Anyhow, that was my piece. That's all.
Well, and not for nothing, this Green Arrow, although some of the aesthetics are very similar to the Green Arrow comic books from day one on this show, this was not the Green Arrow of the comic books. This
no.
was more of a riff on Batman to begin with, what they
right.
were doing on this show.
Oh, yeah. And we had a lot of complaints about that during season 3. They keep taking Batman storylines.
It's like, guys, you've been watching the show?
Yeah. But yeah we had several people
like,
saying
dark
in chat... Lady. That Willow was only contracted for 14 episodes this season.
Interesting.
She has to go record Kingdom Hearts 3.
Yeah.
I have no idea if that's the case. I just pulled that out of nowhere.
An AfterBuzz TV exclusive.
Oh, man. Don't I wish. Don't I wish. We are hitting Duke Nukem Forever levels of Is This Ever Coming Out?
Now, that's that picture. If it is up for you guys to see, that's the picture of Katie Cassidy and her father, David Cassidy. So, again, they've come in contact, but they obviously don't have that... typical father-daughter, he didn't raise her relationship. Anywho, let's get into some predictions, just because I know that time is running short, and those are important.
And now, you're after Buzz TV. Prediction.
I will do the flashy hands with you. Flashy hands, flashy hands, flashy hands.
These are my lights.
I am sincerely hoping that next episode we do get the reveal, that Oliver gets the reveal that Prometheus has been chased the whole time.
Well, we got tipped to that, right? Because it looks like, if I'm reading between the very few lines we got in this promo, it looks like Talia is revealing the identity to someone.
That's
could
right.
be Oliver. And if that's the case, does that imply that Talia is suddenly showing up in the present, which would excite me quite
a
bit?
That would be amazing. I would need it in my life.
And if Talia Okay, so
maybe Talia
trained him, and that's why he knows those same moves.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That would make sense. And Adrian Chase, she said he calls himself Adrian Chase, which means Adrian Chase isn't his real name.
It's a fabrication.
So maybe we tie it all the way back to what we thought was this red herring theory about it being the son of somebody Oliver killed. Maybe it is. Maybe Adrian Chase is that guy, but this is an identity that he's taken for himself, much like the Prometheus identity.
Or maybe he found out about the illegitimate son of that person and it's just been assuming the identity or just being like, I had nothing to do with this. I want revenge on you for a completely different reason, but this is a good path to take.
Really quickly, at Billie Jean Girl says, do you think Adrian Chase was helping the Arrow team to get rid of Vigilante?
I feel like maybe.
I mean, they were fighting each other, so clearly they're not bros.
Well, I feel like it was also just a means to get closer to Oliver as well, too. Maybe to use the team to get rid of Vigilante first and then go for Oliver. But at the end of the day, I think it was always about getting Oliver.
Yeah, and just he was the one who set up the cover, who set up the murder and then set up the cover up in the first place and then was willing to take the fall for it, which I'm sure would have turned into some other form of ammunition and would also have left him a lot more freedom to move around if he doesn't have to be at the mayor's office for a certain amount of hours every day.
Yeah. Makes sense. Tari. Oh, wise one, what do you predict?
I predict. All the pressure.
Pressure.
I predict that. I was going to say that Vigilante is Pike.
Yes, bring that back. But I'm really only. I only base that on why was Pike even in this episode otherwise? Why are we still spending time with this character if he's not going to factor in somehow? The storytelling this season, I feel like, has been real tight and efficient.
Yeah.
And like a lot of really well-functioning, I was going to say well-functioning internal functionality, but that's super redundant. But
they haven't wasted anything.
Exactly. So I'm going, Pike is either about to die or he's probably wearing a mask in some corner of the city.
Both.
Could be both, not mutually exclusive.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just about to wrap it up.
Do it.
Wrap it up. All right, well, all you buzzers out there who have watched, thank you so much for joining us. And for those of you in the chat, thank you. We appreciate your participation. And always please follow us on Twitter, Instagram, or whatever social media platform we happen to be on. I'm Allie Kona Bradford. You can find me at BoysInBeauty01 on Twitter and at Boys_and_Beauty_AllieKona on Instagram. Mwah.
I am Lex Michael. I am all over social media at The Lex Michael. And if you're a fan of DC on the CW on ABTV, I'm all over it on Monday nights with Tori J. Miller. We're talking about Supergirl. Tuesday nights on Legends of Tomorrow. And of course, every week here on Wednesday to talk about the Emerald Archer. But you know that because you're already here and we love you for it. Mwah.
And I'm Tari J. Miller. You can find me at Tari J. That's T-A-R-I-J-A-Y. Also on all the shows that Lex just said, in addition to Grimm on Sundays.
Sunday.
Oh. Mwah.
And I'm Katie Cullen. You can find me all over the social medias and on YouTube at KiaJay. That is K-I-A-X-E-T. I'm also on Snapchat at Kia Prime. Guys, we've got a heck of a show lineup tomorrow. We have the monthly Steven Universe show at 8 p.m. and we have the Voltron Season 2 finale after show at 9 p.m. We are looking at multiple guests if everything goes well. So tune in. That's going to be nuts. We also have Star Wars Rebels on Sundays.
I love how we all sound like auctioneers at the end of the show because
Sunday.
To get off.
I'm also on Flash.
Right. Anyhow, thank you again once more, and we will see you next week. Mwah, mwah, mwah. Kisses mwah.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
I activated.
It was awesome.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only, do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principal.
TV!